And that's without going into the sordid details, because I don't want you getting out on social media trying to figure out what all I'm talking about. Because that's irrelevant. I don't want us to get involved in that foolishness. Amen?
Amen?
So we're in part four of our Next Level Worship series. Last week, we began to talk about the presence of God. Today, we're going to talk about pursuing the presence of God, if I can get to that. We're going to talk about pursuing the presence of God. If you need a theme scripture, we're going to use Psalm 16 and 11. Psalm 16 and 11. The psalmist said, "You reveal the path of life to me." And he goes on to say in the B clause, "In your presence is abundant joy. In your right hand are eternal pleasures." In your presence. How many of you know that in the presence of God is everything you need? In the presence of God is, you may not be able to find everything you need in a relationship. You may not be able to find everything you need in a spouse. You may not be able to find everything you need at a job. You may not even be able to find everything you need at a church. But in the presence of the Lord, oh God, is everything you need. Come on, tell somebody and tell them he's got everything you need. So we're going to talk about pursuing the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. Bless us to receive your word. Break up the fallow ground in this place, in our hearts and in our minds. God, make us fertile fields for the seed of your word to be planted on. Father God, I come against distractions. I come against deceptions. I come against misconceptions in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that your word come forth with clarity and that it be received with a clear mind. Tear down the filters. Tear down every wall that would keep us from moving into deeper revelation and deeper relationship with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, last week we started this message in the series on the presence of God. And my aim was to give some basic definition and insight on this subject. I gave a basic definition for the term presence in the context of scripture, most scriptures, not all, but most of them, and the one that we use as our theme scripture, in the phrase, the presence of the Lord, or the presence of God. If you're taking notes and you didn't get it last week, the term presence means face. Face, the presence of proximity of someone understood in terms of the face, with the implication of being before or in front of them. Before or in front of them. In other words, it's if I were to get up in your face. How many of you know that's a different level of being in your presence? How many of you are uncomfortable when people are in your face? Talk to me, you're in my bubble. Back up. You're in my personal bubble. But how many of you know that God wants you to be in his face? God is not intimidated for you to get close up on him. He's not intimidated for that interaction and that intimate contact. Oftentimes, we have issues with face-to-face contact with people because we are not confident in ourselves. It's not about the person, it's about us. Sometimes we are uncomfortable with that level of intimacy because we are afraid for people to see who we really are. We're afraid to get into each other's space. There's a saying that says the eyes are the window to the soul. So if you really want to know who somebody is, look into their eyes. But how many of you know people have a problem making eye contact? Have you ever talked to someone and they're like, They're all over the place. You're like, and how many of you, even though you may feel uncomfortable a little bit with eye contact, you feel more uncomfortable with a person who's unwilling to make it? Yeah. What are you hiding? That's the first thing you're thinking in your mind. What are you hiding? What's wrong with you? Why won't you look me in the eye? I can't trust you. I can't trust that person. They don't look in the eye. And so when we talk about the presence of the Lord, we literally talk about coming into an encounter with God that is likened to being in his face. When you think about a person's face, you think about their characteristics. If I want to really know what a person looks like, I don't look at their hands. I don't recognize. I mean, you know, we don't recognize people by their hands, except for Brandy. Brandy has really nice hands, but we tell her all the time that she should be a hand model. Or we don't recognize people by their feet unless they're really busted feet. Amen. You know, some people, you'd be, I know who that is. But generally, my sister's giving me the head like, there you go, there you go. But generally, the way we recognize a person is by their facial features. So when you talk about getting in the face of God, you're talking about coming into an intimate knowledge of him. Experientially knowing God in a very intimate way. Now, when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about it in the sense of the manifestation or revelation of God, not the omnipresence of God. When you think about the omnipresence of God, what am I saying? I'm saying God is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's in heaven. He's on earth. He's everywhere. David said, where can I go from you? Where can I flee from your presence? He said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take on wings and I fly to the uttermost, you are there. Where can I, how can you get away from a God that's everywhere? That's what David is saying. How can you get away from a God that's everywhere? So, we're not talking about the omnipresence of God. We're talking about the manifestation or the revelation of the presence of God. In other words, when God makes himself known. When God makes himself known. That's what we're talking about. I come to tell you today that you serve a God who makes himself known. He makes himself known. That you do not serve a God who is an idea. That you do not serve a God who is a list of commandments or a set of principles. See, this is what distinguishes Christianity from other religions, because we don't simply believe that our God is a concept or an idea or a set of beliefs. We believe that our God manifests himself in real and tangible ways. So God is everywhere, and he's holding everything together, but we're not always aware. Okay, Acts 17, 28, Colossians 1 and 17. God is, he's everywhere, and he's holding everything together, but we're not always aware. I talked about last week how though we use the terminology, didn't God move, it's really impossible for God to move. Because if God were to cease to be here, to be there, then here would cease to be. So we're not really talking about God physically moving location. We're not talking about God physically leaving one place to come into this place. What we are talking about, do you hear what I'm saying? We're talking about God making himself aware. He's making himself aware to us that we're able to see him. We're able to sense him. We're able to experience him. We're able to know that he is present. When God manifests himself in tangible ways, it's an opportunity to know God. How many of you know that there are people who are in school who know your Bible better than you? Seminarians, professors. There are people who understand the cultural, the political, the historical background. They understand the original language. They can read Hebrew. When they study the Bible, they don't even read this. They don't need this. They read the original language. They know your Bible and the idiosyncrasies of your Bible better than you do. Yet they don't know your God necessarily. There are many professors who are atheists, seminary professors. There are people that teach the Bible. So knowing the Bible and knowing Scripture isn't knowing God. That's why we could preach to people week after week after week after week, and there's no change and transformation in their lives. Because having a word from God and meeting the word of God is not necessarily the same thing. So when God manifests himself, when he makes himself known, it is an opportunity to know him in a way you didn't know him before he showed up. To experience him in a way you have not experienced him before. It is also an opportunity to hear from God in new and impactful ways. When God's presence shows up, God shows up to speak, not simply for you to feel. Think about it. Moses experienced the glory of God on Sinai. And it was awe-inspiring for him to see this sight, this bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. What an awesome thing. What a powerful thing. But what if God had never spoke to him? What if it had just been an experience? But God speaks to him in the midst of this manifestation. And he gives Moses instructions that would alter the rest of his life. Do you know that when you get in the presence of God, it is an opportunity to hear an instruction that could change the course of your life? This is what Pastor Charlene was talking about when she talked about praying, but praying until the presence comes. Getting in the presence of God and not thinking, I prayed 5 minutes, I'm good. I'm good. I prayed 5 minutes. I prayed 10 minutes. I'm good. That's my duty. Thank you. But realizing that prayer is a vehicle and an opportunity to get into the very face of God. Why? So that God can speak. Now let me pin here, because she touched something that I wanted to touch on in this series. I'm so glad that she was led by the Spirit in the things that she said, because this is something that's been tremendously on my heart for this church. It takes time. It takes time to get into the presence of God. Have you ever seen worship go 30 minutes, and at the 30-minute mark, we've sang, but we haven't entered. You will never experience the real impacting presence of God if you don't take time. And in the church in America, everything is about time. Get us in, get us out. Shorter services, less services, no prayer services. Because people don't have time. But because people don't have time, we experience God less. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm 40 years old. I've been in church probably since I was, what, one? I've been in church 39 years. And one thing I've come to find out, there ain't too many ways you can have church for me that is something I haven't experienced. Every kind of dancing, singing. I mean, you know, I was doing youth ministry in the 90s, and they were rapping and poeting, and none of this stuff is new. There was lights of smoke, darkness, like all the stuff that's trending now. It ain't new. We've been doing it in the 90s. Hello? I've seen every kind of church there is to see. And the thing that has changed my life and the thing that keeps me coming isn't church. It isn't the creativity of church. It isn't the pageantry of church. It is the presence of God. And I believe that God is trying to birth a new hunger in this 21st century church for his presence. Without the presence of God, this is nothing but an inspirational speech. This is nothing but a motivational talk. And it is impotent of the power that it needs to change your life. But when you have an encounter with God, my God, I can't tell you what the message was about. I don't know what they said. All I know is I came in bound, and when I left, I was free. I came in sick. When I left, I was healed. And we have to stop creating an environment that pushes people to men, and we have to start pushing people back to God. Back to God, back to his glory, back to his presence, back to the face of God. For only in the face of God you were changed. I talked about last week how Moses experienced a fading glory. When you recount the story, Moses asked to see God's face, but it wasn't time for God's face to be revealed. So God said, I won't show you my face, but I will show you my afterglow. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by you, and I will allow you to see the after effects of my glory. And the after effects of God's glory, that caused Moses' whole visage and face to be changed till glory shined out of his face. But it was a fading glory. It didn't last. But when Jesus came to bring a glory that would not be a fading glory, but a glory that would be a growing glory. Hallelujah. A growing glory. See, we don't have a fading glory now because we're allowed to see him. Hallelujah. This is what 1 John has said. I think it's 1 John chapter 3. This is what it says when it says that when we see him, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You got to understand that this word has been fulfilled in Christ. Come on. That is not a scripture that is speaking of the millennial reign of Jesus. That's not a scripture that's speaking of the rapture, but that is a scripture that speaks of when Christ is revealed. transformation happens. When I see him as he is, when I can look into his face, my face is changed. Whew. My God, I come to tell you, you need less steps when you get in his face. I come to tell you, you need less counseling when you get in his face. I come to tell you, you need less messages when you get in his face. When you get in his face, things you couldn't break, things you couldn't be free of, things you've been wrestling with, fall off in the presence of God. Fall off in the presence of God. So we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. We are being beckoned by the God of the universe to draw near, my God, to come close to him. Jesus has died and resurrected to make it possible for us to come boldly before the Lord, to receive grace, to receive help in a time of need. Can somebody give God praise right there? So now we have to understand that God desires for us to be aware of his presence. God desires for us to be aware of his presence. There is such a move towards intellectualism in the body of Christ, mental assent to God, more teaching, teach me. But how many of you know that teaching is not your issue? Many of you right now have more word. You have forgotten more word than most people in the world have ever heard. Having more word is not your issue. It's experiencing the word you have that is your issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God desires for us to be aware of his presence. Our faith and relationship with God is not simply to be a mental assent or an intellectual discourse. Throughout Scripture, God always made himself known and revealed himself to men. Now, I want to take a moment. How many of you are familiar with the Jehovah names? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha. These are names that were revealed God. Jehovah being God, the prefix word being the experience. Okay? So every time in the Old Testament when God wanted to reveal a new aspect of himself to the children of God, they would have this experience with God and they would say, God is a healer. Okay? Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is healer. Jehovah is God. All right? So now what you have to understand here is that these are not just names. These names come as a result of a manifestation or a revelation or a way God revealed himself to his people. Okay? So God, all throughout Scripture and all throughout history, has always made himself known. Always. Before there was a Bible, God was making himself known. Before there was an Apostle Paul or an Apostle Peter, God was making himself known to mankind. God revealed himself to Israel as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night as they were being delivered from Egypt. God revealed his glory in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do you hear what I'm saying? God revealed his glory. God revealed his glory in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13. It says, in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise, to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, he indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Verse 14, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory, somebody say the glory, of the Lord filled the house of God. See, in the Old Testament, God wanted to reveal himself. He wanted to reveal his presence. He wanted to reveal his glory. And he would often manifest in the temples and tabernacles and tents of meeting as a cloud. As a cloud. And it was God's manifested glory. It was a tangible manifestation of the invisible God. When we move to the New Testament, we see that when God wanted to reveal his glory, he sent Jesus. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. In the beginning was the Word was with God, John 1, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say, and we beheld his glory. My God. Jesus was the physical manifestation of the invisible God. Jesus said, if you want to know what God looks like, take a look at what I do. John was in jail. John the Baptist was in jail, and John was distraught about his situation as he sat in Herod's jail, and he began, like the many of us, to wonder, what is this all about? Is this really worth it? I'm risking my life. I'm out here preaching. Come here. Go send Jesus a message. Go ask Jesus, are you the one? Or shall we look for another? And Jesus sent back word to John. Said, he didn't say, tell John to be encouraged. Tell John he's going to be all right. Tell John not to worry. He said, tell John that the blind see. And the lame, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The glory of God is being revealed. Y'all don't see what I'm saying. In the earth, y'all don't hear me. My God. So Jesus was, he was the manifestation of the glory of God and the presence of God. He was the physical expression of God in earth. So everything that God had manifested through the life of Jesus. Everything that God was, wisdom and knowledge and power and healing and deliverance, manifested the glory of God, manifested through the life of Jesus. And then Jesus is now ready to transition. I wish somebody would work with me. Jesus is ready to transition. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. My God, I gotta go. My work here is done. My ministry here is done. I've done everything that the Father sent me to do, and now I gotta go away. But I didn't come to remove the glory. My God, I didn't come just to give you a taste of the presence of God and then take the presence of God back out of your life. He says, but I'm going to send another. My God, I'm going to send another comforter. And he says that he will be with you and he will be in. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is now the current revealer of glory? The Holy Spirit is now the one that causes us to know and be aware and experience God, for he will show you, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost, things yet to come. He will show you the Father. He will show you things yet to come. He will cause glory to be revealed to you. and he will cause glory to be revealed in you. And he will cause glory to be revealed through you. Come on, touch three people and say, I need the presence. I want the presence of God. I want that God. So God reveals himself due to his desire for man to know him. Here it is. I'm turning the corner. And seek him. Do you know, oh God, help me with this. Do you know that the more you know God, the more it compels seeking? See, people who rest on their laurels as if they know God lets me know that they don't know him. They haven't experienced him really. Because when you experience God, it creates within you a hunger to know him more. And the more you know God, the more you understand you don't know him. The more you get of him, the more you understand, the more you need of him. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, God, he has this way of creating an insatiable hunger while satisfying. Oh, God. See, he says, I'll satisfy you, but I won't satisfy you to the point where you stop seeking me. I'll satisfy you, but I won't satisfy you to the point where you feel like you have a patent on me and you know there everything there is to know. That God desires us to know him so that we might seek him. Whew. My God, he desires us to know him because in knowing him, it produces the seek. When God begins to reveal himself, it creates something in us that says more, more, more. Some of y'all might be too young for this, but there's an old movie called Oliver Twist. They've done a couple of renditions of it since the original. But God is trying to create an Oliver Twist moment in many of our lives. Oliver Twist got a bowl of the soup. Just like everybody else. Oliver ate his bowl of the soup just like everybody else. But Oliver, he ate his soup and he said, that ain't enough. And nobody else would go back. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Nobody else, though they were hungry, though their hunger hadn't been satisfied, they were too afraid to go forward and go back to the headmaster and the head cook to ask for more. But Oliver said, no. He said, what can it hurt to try? What can it hurt to ask? What's the worst that could happen? And he goes with his bowl, may I have some more, please? And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for some people that are not satisfied with their last encounter. He's looking for some people that are not satisfied with their last experience, their last touch, their last healing, but they keep going back with their bowl, saying, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven. Feed me. Oh my God, am I talking to some hungry people? I sense some hunger stirring in the room. I sense some people who said, I've had some of God and I've had an experience, but there's more and I want more and I won't allow fear. I won't allow fear. I won't allow fear of the unknown. I won't allow fear of what people think. I won't allow fear of people judging me. I won't allow it. Oh, that's what I love about David. David was so radical for God. David said, wait a minute. Finally, the glory is coming back into the capital city. Finally, the presence of the Lord. He was over there blessing Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom was a pagan. My God. He went and said, wait a minute. No. I want the glory and I want it back home. And when they brought the glory back in, the Bible says that every six paces, David would stop and give God praise. By the time they got to the city, God, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. At this point, it was a fever pitch, and David was really giving God praise to the point where David began to come out of his kingly garment. And David's wife looked out, and she was in disgust. A king doesn't conduct themselves that way. You're supposed to be a man. Men don't act like, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You're supposed to be a man. Men, let me stop and take a minute and tell you. We were the first worship leaders. We were the first worship leaders. We were the first priests that led our families into prayer, that led our families into worship. And we've let this world tell us that it was... We've let this world convince us that it was not masculine to pray, and it's not masculine to worship, and it's not masculine to be passionate for God. But David said, no, I'm going to praise God because the glory was gone and the glory has come back. And he told his wife when she confronted him about what she considered to be his shenanigans. He told his wife, if you think that was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. I dare somebody in this place to give me about 30 seconds of a you ain't seen nothing yet praise. Talk about me all you want. Think I'm crazy. Think I've lost my mind. Think it doesn't take all that. But I'm in pursuit of something. I'm trying to get the glory. I'm trying to hold on to the presence of God. And if you think I praise him before, when his glory shows up, you ain't seen nothing yet. I wish somebody would give God praise. Come on, praise him. Praise him with all your heart. Praise him with all your mind. Praise him with all your strength. Praise him with all your might. Praise him with your mind. Praise him with your body. Praise him with your mouth. Let everything. God, I feel glory in the room. I feel glory in the room. I feel glory in the room. Come on, praise him till yokes are destroyed. Praise him till bondages are broken. Praise him till addictions are broken. Praise him. You may be seated. I know I'm not going to finish and I'm not going to try. Oh God. Are there any seekers of his presence? Is there anybody who will pursue? I'm in hot pursuit of God. I'm in hot pursuit of God. Gotta have him. Gotta have him. Gotta have his glory. Gotta have his presence. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Ando kosha. Yes, Lord. Ando bohosha. Yes, Lord. Ketolo bohoya. Yes, Lord. Rabatatatata. Yes, Lord. Ramondoro boho. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Release your glory in this house. Manifest yourself. Reveal yourself in this house. My God. I won't let no naysayer steal the glory. Sit there and stare at me. Sit there and think it don't take all that. When I get the glory, I'm going to do what I got to do to hold on to it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Proverbs 8 and 17. The Bible says, I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. If you will begin to pursue God in a new way, with a new passion, you will experience God in new ways. When you experience God, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. When you experience God, you don't have to be convinced every week. When you experience God for yourself, nobody has to convince you to keep coming to church. When you experience God for yourself, nobody has to convince you the value of seeking and praying and worshiping. When you experience God for yourself, you know with beyond the shadow of a doubt who He is. God beckons us today. I'm not going to finish. I'm going to come back to this. Next Sunday, God beckons those of us today. God beckons those of us today to seek Him, pursue Him. I'm not talking about salvation. You already got that. This is not about pursuing salvation. This is about knowing God. It's about knowing God. If you want to know God in intimate ways that you don't know Him today, I'm going to release you to stand to your feet, those that can, those that will. I'm going to release you to stand to your feet and lift your hands. And I'm going to give you just a few moments, because you're going to have to take this home. This is not a church pursuit.